Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Look at that. We live. Every, you know what I'm saying? Everybody stand back. Lush, you know, in the function with Grand Nash, baby. Come on.
Oh, man.
What's up with it?
What's happening, Lush?
You know what the fuck going on.
It's juiced. I'm juiced to have all of y'all simultaneously. You know, this is, and I know y'all are in the midst of this super crazy tour right now with the with Rex Life Raj.
Indeed.
So I'm honored that y'all chose to make this little excursion, detour in the midst of such a prestigious tour to pop up on the gang, you know?
Yeah, we appreciate you,
the big dogs say slide, we slide, bro.
Yeah. Easy call. So, you know, already had Pass on the show, and he mentioned this group, and, you know, I've been homies with Pass for several years, and
a lot.
When I saw, like, this conglomerate of just diverse talent from the Eastern Bay Area region come together, I was like, yes, this is a perfect ideal home for him. And then, like, I saw the way all of y'all vibe off of each other, and it's been incredible. Like, can y'all break down the origins of Grand National and what it means to y'all?
Shit, man, you want me to? All right, so the origins is like, we were sitting around feeling like the narrative is Bay Area people don't work together. And I'm like, that's not true. I work with a lot of people every day. So we jumped on the phone, made some phone calls. We, you know what I mean? Made music together. And it was like, you know what? This should be something. Let's make it something real. Let's put a brand behind it. And we just put all the pieces together to say, like, we can kind of band together and do this shit together. We don't got to be out there alone trying to figure this shit out, how to market yourself and design your own websites and shit. Like, let's everybody band together. And yeah, that shit came together dope.
Why do you feel like that narrative exists, especially considering back in the day there was all the Bay Area, every single album that came out the Bay, you would see the list of features and it'd be like 15 different artists. It'd be featuring Richie Rich, Be Legit, you know, like Mac Mall, RBL Posse. It'd be this list of all the different artists. But when do you feel like that changed, and why does that narrative exist now?
Somewhere along the way, there was like an independent surge to say that we were independent, but like to a fault. Like, we just started kind of wearing that as a badge of honor, it felt like. You know what I mean? Like, hey, yeah, we independent, but nobody has ever done anything by themselves that was fun, you know what I mean, in my opinion. Keep it PG till the 5-minute mark. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That thing already over. It's out the window.
right. But nah, I just think we independent to a fault. Like, we love saying we got it on out the mud. We love saying we did it by ourselves. We love saying shit like that, but it ain't true.
So you think the independence, the definition of that got skewed from without label support to at a certain point being like without any support.
Right, it's all on me.
And so what was it like? Had you worked with these guys before? Or
nah, I always wanted to make music with Pass, so this was like the plan I devised so I could just get songs with this boy, you know what I mean? But like, I worked with Monty before. Me and Deuce had history like years ago when we were like kids. But not really. Like, most of the people that were involved in the first project, I never really worked with them, and I wanted to work with them closer. So it was like, yo, just pull up to the lab. Like, everybody come bring music, bring your rap, bring whatever you're doing, and kind of like, let's help each other. So if you need people to show up to a video shoot, you now have a network of 10, 15 people to show up for you. You need somebody to do photography, now you have 3 or 4 photographers at your fingertips at all times to kind of like just build a network for. So before this, no. After this, yeah, like now we making all kind of music, like every day. This is what we do.
So there's Grand National, the art collective, and now there's Grand National, the group as well? Or is it still just an art collective of different artists that come together and collaborate in different capacities?
Definitely. We're all like, without paperwork, we're signed at Grand National as this is what we believe in. It's like, this is the foundation of what we're trying to build. But no, we're not a group. He's solo, I'm solo. But we make music together, you know?
And there's a lot more of y'all than just this, correct? Like,
nah.
This is where this is where it stands now.
This is where it stands now.
It reminds me, back in the day, past is familiar, we had a group, Delinquent Monastery, Delmont Crew, and it started in a very similar fashion. There was like, it was more than just a group, it was a community. We was all like a squad, and it was like 25, 30 people deep. Like somebody, maybe someone just sold weed, or maybe someone just stomped people out, whatever, but it was still,
You gotta have that.
Imperative.
You gotta have a guy that's gonna stomp somebody out.
Imperative, you feel me? You gotta. Don't be afraid to get a little bit of plasma on your uptowns.
No, really though.
Like occasionally, this
plasma.
Is that a part? That's a part of blood, right?
When it separates from the blood, you know. Dr. Charles Drew.
If you stomp fast enough, you could separate the blood from the plasma. Allegedly.
The plasma on the wall.
There you go.
No, my bad. I'm sorry.
There you go.
We're horrible fest.
I have a counter on you on how many bars we're going to get in an episode each. Don't jump episode.
And Mike, you know what? There's no limit to it.
Nah. You're in like that 20, 25, like, especially if it's like a 2.5 hour podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to take it there.
Yeah, yeah. Like bars per minute.
That's the BPM.
You dig?
There we go. Yeah. That's your show. BPM.
There it go. Oh, okay. Okay. I owe you 0.37%.
Nah, this is how this works. You just hire Grand National. Just hire us, have us pull up. You know what I mean?
You and see, this is the way the collaborative effort works.
Actually, though.
Yeah. When we do, if it's your album, it's all of our album. We're going to pull up. Yeah. Our best ideas, ain't no hold. I had a beat last night I was saving for myself. And that's going on the tape. And I was like,
that's for me,
talking about, you know. So.
That's love. At a certain point, like, if you looking bad, we looking bad.
Facts.
So you know, and I like that because a lot of people I would say are more hesitant to link up in a group context because it sacrifices paper. It's like, hey, we're on the bill with another artist, and that, you know, the promoter only has a certain amount of budget, so we're getting paid as a four-man group, essentially the same as this dude's getting paid, but we have to split the money, so.
Nah, see, the thing is, we not worried about none of that right now.
Okay.
Like, the money go back in the pot. Like, this ain't, the money generated ain't our money. This is for the company, it's for the business, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So,
don't
all
spend
that conversation, yeah, you don't spend the real. Like, the conversation is already dead before it starts, and they know who gets what. Like, we'll figure that out when the big bread come. We're not about to fight over no pennies. Like, oh, maybe $300? Like, nah, nigga, nah, we good.
Nah.
We'll be all right.
What $300?
Catch amnesia, get that paper, catch amnesia.
Man, that's for the gas tank, man. That's for the, you know what I mean? Right. That's for the merch re-up. That's for the, we're not about to.
It's hella short-sighted, too. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? 0% of 100, you know what I'm saying? Right. 0 of 100 is zero, you feel me? So it's like, the more work, the more rooms we could be in. Like, they drove the first leg to the net because we had work we needed to do before we got on the road.
Yeah. Mm.
You feel me? So it's like, I couldn't be on the road if I hadn't put that bag. You feel me? So they picked it up, and then we met them out the way and then just took it on one from there, but absolutely needed to do it. I mean, it's what me and bro was talking about. He's like, bro, let's figure it out. So it just makes sense. It's easier to do it that way. You feel me?
Is it kind of crazy that none of y'all grew up together? But do y'all kind of feel like you've known each other your whole lives at this point?
Yeah, once you spend like with 6 weeks on the road with some men, you're like, Jesus Christ, this is my brother for real. Like, you know what I'm saying?
How do y'all avoid, because, you know, it's inevitable. It's not if you're going to get into arguments on the road. It's when.
No arguments, bro.
No arguments?
We really had no arguments, though.
No arguments,
these fucking men, bro. Like, this no kids. That's just hella selfish and childish. Like, we have a mission to do. Like,
we
could have stayed at home and fucked off. You feel me? Like,
right.
Got kick family and shit to get back to. But this was business for us. So it's like, people calling like, man, y'all having the time of your life? It's like, yeah, we having it. Like, we're present. And we're taking in the journey or whatever, but we got work to do. We got mission. We set goals and metrics and shit to hit. So it's like, wasn't no plan.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Deuce is kind of quiet, though. I don't know.
I feel the same way. Yeah, let's get down to business. It's always business first, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we've been on for the whole time, is just focusing on making sure that we show up for each other, you know. It's wellness first, you know. We over I.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Bay Area has always had a really unique sonic palette, like the way the music sounds. Increasingly more so, it's become like a very very specific regional sound, which y'all don't subscribe to, I feel like. What's the influence and behind y'all's sonic aesthetic and the way
that
y'all put it?
That's kind of a false narrative, though.
Okay.
I think we subscribe to
You call him a liar, Kurt?
So you're a liar. Yeah, that's why I said a false narrative, because I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, like, I think we subscribe to everything. I think we are, you know, multidisciplinary. I think we are multifaceted, and we can do whatever is in front of us, you know? And we just...
Basically saying we'd be making clap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We make hit records, we're students of this shit,
so... We really do what's necessary. Like, what's required of us, we can do it.
But I'm just saying, the specific bass-heavy, post-hyphy, neo-mob shit-talking.
Neo-mob. Come on, heard him say that? You heard him say neo-mob before?
Never in my life. Never have I ever.
That's a thing.
Dead
that's
homies.
A thing.
That's but
a thing.
I think I know what you mean, though, because we...
I'll say that because
we can do everything, but we go beyond just what, like, the quote unquote, like, what somebody from other parts of the country, they might hear, like, Bay Area rap, whatever, and they have, like, a sound in their mind. And we go a step beyond, like, we do everything. We don't just, we're not just limited to, like, a quote unquote, like, regional sound or whatever.
He said something hella important, though, post hyphy.
Yeah.
I think what really gets lost, they just did a hyphy documentary, and it's cool, but I feel like they should have talked to Mike Mosley and people like that Raphael and everybody that kind of set the tone, Aunt Banks and everybody, that mob music in there.
Kyrie,
and
you feel me?
Like, they skipped a whole area of mob music that hella influenced the hyphy that, you know, Mustard and everybody was able to take everything on one after that. But it starts, it's like 80, 88, 89, you know what I'm saying? Like, even KLC and all the No Limit shit that they got from Richmond specifically.
100%.
Like, we got to have a whole different conversation about sounds. When you start to talk about us, like, that's what raised us. And
right.
So not trying to separate the two. You look at the room and you look at who in the writer's rooms for some of the hits, like Hitmaker in them room, it's a lot of Bay niggas on that list. You feel me?
Always.
Don't ever not associate us with making dictating the sound for real.
I mean, shameless plug, but post hyphy was myself, Jack, ROD.
Come on.
There was only a few people getting played back home
on the radio
post hyphy, 2009, 2010.
Facts.
And we were in that circle. So my music was both. It was deep shit, it was radio shit, it was both. And we all do that. We all make like phenomenal battle rapper, but songs, he can make songs. It's different.
No, 1,000%. And I think the reason why I say neo mob is because the tempo is kind of switched back. Like, at the end of the day, mob music, one of the signatures of the sound was its slow trunk rattling music, very suited for shit talking and dropping game. Right. And with hyphy, and I think a large part of this had to do with, you know, the substances that people were ingesting at the time, the tempo got a lot quicker. Yeah. You know, it was off the thizz and all that, and then made the...
Fun times.
Fun times. Absolutely good. But if you don't have your hyphy insurance, the aftermath might not be so fun.
And then
it's kind of a resurgence of that tempo that we grew up with. Not quite as slow, but way more closer to that. It's interesting because obviously was a fan of you back in the day when you had the Irk the Jerk moniker. And first of all, can we just go on record? Like, right here is one of the dopest Bay Area records of all time.
Come on, man.
One of the biggest. Crazy.
One of the biggest, though.
Yeah.
Activity.
And it's crazy because I didn't even know prior to that I had heard your music, but I didn't know that you had the vocals like that. You feel me? Like, you was...
I'll do some shit later. I ain't going.
L.A. Kev is definitely an R&B.
I know there's a story.
Trained vocalist. It's like Ray J and then me.
That's what I was thinking. There's got to be a story to the creation of that song. Like... Was there a young female that you just had to hit right there in public? Are you an exhibitionist?
As a culmination.
Okay.
Of understanding the psyche. I don't know. Now, really, I was just making music. Me and Trax a Million actually made that together.
Trax.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I just took the beat to him, and I was like, bro, like, this song, like, I feel like it's going to be dope, but I don't have any lyrics. And he was like, just say whatever the fuck. And we just kind of freestyled it. And he sang harmony on it later. And then, yeah, that was it. Like, we start playing it for people, and we put it on Twitter. And then Twitter was like, we fuck with this. Mm. And then radio picked it up, and then, you know what I mean? But it was really simple, like really like a very quick process. Like, this just feels right, you know what I mean?
Right, no, absolutely.
Change the fuck to love, and then get some clean
air. I just wanna love you right here. Go, I'm classically trained. What?
Yeah.
I'm classically trained.
Big fan.
Come Gina on. In the building.
Gina be having shit lit. So with it. No, Jumper been cracking since Gina and Lush.
Hey, man, stop crazy. Talking to my girl, bro. Fall back.
My bad.
Out of pocket.
You know, we from the Bay.
Yeah, exactly. 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 We going to let her choose.
Shut the fuck up.
And then I think another obviously seminal Irk the Jerk record was like, how I would define as like the apex of the post-hyphy era was you had a song pretty much which was indirect. Is it fair to say direct opposition to the hyphy movement?
No, it was a diss record.
I just posted that yesterday for the first time. Yeah. Like, crazy. Yeah. It was a diss record.
What was it called? It was called like it was something dumb, right?
I'm so dumb.
I'm so dumb. Right, right, yeah. Right. So, and I mean, were you just kind of sick of seeing all these kids thizzing out, being ignorant, and the sound getting watered down and repetitive. And
I just felt like a battle rapper at heart. I always felt like if rap is a sport competition, then I got a whole lot of shit to say about men taking sex drugs together.
I feel attacked.
No. I'm not. So it was just was a opposing thought. You know what I mean? Saying, okay, that's one side of the coin, but what's the other side of that coin?
Right.
Who's braiding your hair?
No,
I'm saying like that was just the questions I had at the
right,
time.
Right,
like,
right.
Not as an adult. God. I was a kid.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Those are wild thoughts, brother.
But I just felt like there was an apex, like Irk the Jerk and Keek the Sneak. Like I got my name from that movement, but it was a different culture at the time. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So when it became like comical, it kind of made me feel a way because I'm like, what about the legends? There's legends there that kind of honed the hyphy sound that kind of get pushed to the background. And everybody had a yellow bus. Everybody had a gas brake dip song. It was like, man, like this feel weird. Cause some people was backpack rapping before this and then y'all jumped on the train and switched the whole style up. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna talk to them real quick.
Mm.
And then that became like a, you know, like, oh, he dissing hype. But I guess I assumed somebody would diss me back so we can get into like a sparring situation, but it never happened.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay. I guess they figured I can just ignore it and then it would go away.
No, but like to me, I remember hearing it. I was like, whoa, what a poignant, astute observation of what's going on at the time. Because I think that we probably would have seen the hyphy movement, which I hate that term, by the way. But I think we would have just seen that era last a lot longer if people weren't so derivative, because it's like people, like you said, everyone was saying gas brake dip. Everybody, it was this, literally
right.
the same terminology being
yeah,
used.
Just don't treat it like a lick. Like this is like our real culture for real. Don't treat it like a lick. You know what I mean? Don't treat it like you're just trying to bust a move and, oh, now I'm hyphy now. Okay, no, I'm not hyphy no more. Like, stick with it. Like, you know what I mean? The people that really birthed that shit, stick with that shit. Like, I'm really from there, so those legends are really important to me. Don't tarnish the longevity of that by busting a quick move. Like, that ain't it.
And you would never hear, like, San Quinn do some shit like that. You know what I mean?
Just
like,
don't go that way. You know what I mean?
So, it's dope. And so when you did at what point were you like, I'm going to change my name? And do you feel like when you did that, it kind of made it difficult as far as your momentum for a little while, because everyone was still searching up Irk the Jerk. What happened to Irk the Jerk? They're not aware of this new moniker yet.
I was just willing to try something different, to give it up. Like, it wasn't important to me. Like, my music didn't really start from me trying to be famous. It was like, I just like making music. So once the Bay, like, gave me some recognition, it was like, cool. But that doesn't come with long-lasting fame, or like, it's temporary. So I figured, like, a lot of brands switch their moniker, like, at some point. I'm no different. I'm growing. I'm changing. Like, let's just switch it up, see what happens. I can maybe make more fans as Kevin Allen than Irk the Jerk if I work hard. That's just kind of how I figured at the time. So it wasn't a hard
break. It just took a while because of a brand, you know what I mean?
When Right Here was blowing up, did you feel pressure to follow that up, like as far as on a radio level? I'm sure you had a lot of people trying to get involved and like ride the coattails. Like, what did that feel like?
It was pretty crazy, but we dropped Hands Up after that, and then that was also doing well. So it was like two singles kind of running at the same time,
right?
Back to back years. So it wasn't really a lot of pressure. Like, I just didn't fuck with niggas. Like, I just don't put myself in a situation where somebody can, like, you know. You know, that paperwork and all that weird ass shit. Like, I'm just, you know what I mean? That ain't my thing.
I respect
that
it.
That ain't my thing.
Now,
wild times, brother.
Now, Deuce, you have like, you've put out a lot of projects over the years.
A plethora.
A plethora.
That's right.
But at what point were you like, okay, I'm going to take this to the next level? And do you feel like it was through this collaboration with Grand Nash that, like, took you to the next level?
Taking me to the next level? Yeah, the collaboration with Grand National, but probably maybe about 4 years before when me and Dame started Front Page Music. He had been in the league for about 4 or 5 years, and we were like, let's start a
label. Let the people know, okay, as far as which Dame are we referring to?
Oh, Dame Lillard. It's my little cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
NBA star, and I want to say the best rapping hoopster possibly of all time, or since Allen Iverson got canceled under the Jules moniker back in the day.
I'm going to put Shaq on that list.
All time.
Shaq had some fucking hits, dog.
Shaq is definitely there, but all
Shaq
time.
Shaq got a big figure.
Bro, that's not
like
even.
Shaq ain't have bars like Dame Dolla.
No, not at all.
It's not even a possibly to me.
It's not close at all.
Dame is the best.
Yeah.
Of all time.
By far.
Yeah, but nah, we started Front Page Music. We started 4 Bar Friday. We set out to be a community-based label that helped artists across the country, across the world, really. And yeah, like I really started getting my feet wet, meeting a lot of people. It kind of told me that once I got into it, that maybe being an A&R was more of my bag than fully focusing on rap. So I started transferring into that realm, and now I'm A&R Front Page. So I A&R all Dame's music, and I just kind of brought all of that knowledge and that Rolodex to Grand National, and now we just run it up in that same process. It's like, let's build this from the ground up. Let's start tapping into all our relationships, because that's really what it is. It's like, how many relationships you got, you know what I mean? So that was really the goal, is to establish those relationships, to continue to build on them, and then pass it to the homies, you know, and really move forward. But I think when I got better musically is when I started trusting somebody else's opinion, instead of saying I could do it all by myself, back to the whole Bay independent to a fault situation. It's like, niggas don't be wanting to listen, you know? And that was one of the bigger things for me, was like being able to listen and be coachable and have somebody say, you know what, that was whack, do it over. Baby, that beat is cool, but try this beat instead. You know, maybe this beat works better. You know, drop this out right here. Or can you say this line a little bit better? It's a line specifically that Kev was like, you got to ask a question right there, as opposed to saying it on a song I got called Rearview Thoughts. Mm. And we've been doing it on tour. And every time I say it in that same way, the crowd is like immediately react, because it's like, oh shit, he's talking to me.
I know a line you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like,
you don't go rapping, man.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, sometimes you got the right words, but you ain't saying it right. And it takes somebody else to be like, I felt that because I care about you, but I need you to say it like this because they don't care about you yet. And if you say it like this, they will care about you. So being able to be in those rooms where you can receive that coaching is like the key, you know what I mean? So when I did that, when I allowed myself to be coachable, that's when it started jumping up.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you find now, thinking about music from an A&R perspective and wearing so many different hats, is it difficult to find the balance between being an artist and doing all these others?
Not really. I mean, turn the beat on and let's rap.
Okay.
And then when the song go off, let's figure out how to bust a move with it. So it's just every day is just a new challenge, you know.
Now your name, has the, you know, your moniker comes from the neighborhood you grew up in.
Absolutely.
And that neighborhood, you know, Deep East Oakland in the nine over there, like that holds a lot of weight. Like, what made you choose to like carry the neighborhood on your back and just make that a part of your name?
I mean, at first it was just some basketball shit. It was like a few people that was named Deuce in the area, and it was like, you know, Deuce that be hooping. It was like, what Deuce? It was like Brookfield Deuce.
Okay.
So then it kind of stuck. And I care more about the front of the jersey than the back of the jersey. It's like, it's Front Page, it's Grand National, it's Brookfield, it's East Oakland. And that come before I say Deuce. Everywhere I go, all of that come before I say Deuce. So for me, it's like, care about the squad. And if you care about the squad will care about you, which is basically it's literally how we move, is wolf mentality. And it's like, stick with the pack and you can go further if you go together, you know? But I just wanted to speak for my hood because I knew there was a lot of people in my hood that didn't have a voice to speak for themselves. So really being in a space where I could tell all of our stories and move forward in the educational part, you know, like really giving information because people don't be knowing, you know? And it's like, nah, we for sure one of the most legendary hoods in all of the Bay Area.
Not just
Oakland, you know what I mean? But and it hold a level of pride, you know, like being able to say I'm from Brookfield is different. I'm sure they feel the same way about being from North Richmond.
Right.
You know, but it's like being from Brookfield is super different. Like going outside of the state, outside of the country, and you say Brookfield and they'd be like, oh, that's a, they'd be like, yeah, you know? So I just got a responsibility to make sure that I don't let my hood down, that I don't let my city down, you know? So that's really what it is I wanted to make sure that the front of the jersey was in front.
And for those that don't really know much about it, how would you describe Brookfield Village?
Man, it's one of those places that kind of started during like World War II. It was a lot of whites there. They were presenting it as a spot where they were integrating black people in the area, and then the white people got mad and left. And then they kind of moved to like the seminary area, and it just left all the underprivileged people in Brookfield. But just ever since then, it's been one of those places that people just hold real prideful. It's like right by the airport, it's right by the Coliseum. It's surrounded by all this money. If you go up the hill, you got Bishop O'Dell High School. You know, it's like you got golf links, and it's like all these different places where it's surrounded by money, but Brookfield is the trenches, you know, and it's in an area in East Oakland that they call the kill zone. So it's like a lot of people are getting robbed, a lot of people are getting murdered, but the people there are just hella rooted in being from there and caring about each other, you know. It's definitely one of those places that's real gravitational.
I think people really overlook the community and village aspect of neighborhoods like that, and how it's like people really, you know, everyone's grown up with each other and everyone knows everyone's mom and grandma and all that. And it's like one big family, and people, if you're not from there, you might be intimidated by the reputation, but if you're from there, it like feels like definitely the safest place you could ever be, damn near.
And your,
right?
And your name is really the currency. It's like, oh, it's like Game of Thrones there. Like, damn, your last name is important, you know, like what house you come from, you know what I mean?
So right.
It's super important.
A lot of people that aren't up on it might have seen the Cocaine Cowboys Part 2 movie. Charles Crosby is from that neighborhood.
Exactly.
And so, you know, Griselda Blanco, exactly. Do a little bit of research and all that. Sure, you might could have had some, you know, knowledge of that growing up.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little something.
Just with a little bit.
It get crazy.
It get crazy.
Yeah.
It get too deep for the camera, but
yeah, I'm tittin' up.
We can talk offline. We can talk offline. Yeah.
Okay. Let me know.
Now, Monty, you were the one that I was the least familiar with prior to Grand Nash, but that's just because I was asleep. Because when I like became privy to what you bring to the table, I was like, this dude's a straight animal, right here.
Thank you, bro.
For those that don't know, why don't you break down like some of your origins in the game and all that?
Don't feel away. I'm new. I just got here for real. Like, I got with them, got hella lucky, and was able to take
you. You hear this, man?
He's capping right now, huh?
You hear this man, cap? He's,
yeah.
They do this. I hate. They do this shit all the time, and it's really the truth.
It's like, pretty amazing.
We'll be with first time he took me to meet Short, and I was like froze, bro. Like I didn't know what to do. He's like, man, you ain't never met him before. He just said it so casual. He's like, no, bro, I ain't never done none of this before. This is all brand new. Same thing, Aunt Banks the other day at the my Westmore show. Like all of this shit is just like, just taking it in. Feel me? So it's like.
He a legend in the city, though, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I ain't gonna let him play himself like that. Yeah, he do a lot of shit for a lot of people. And like really one of the most giving individuals I've ever met on this planet. But he an animal, he can rap his ass off, produce, but in a real way, like produce shows, produce content.
Curate.
Like curate.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? He does a lot of shit for people like outside of music, in music, in the game for real.
Uncredited.
But he not gonna say it though. So this, you know what I mean?
Humble beast.
Yeah, we gonna make sure we take
sure,
like period.
And you're from the Rich as well, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did y'all grow up together?
Nah, he's from the South Side.
Okay.
No, we didn't though. Not far at all. But his Cali fam, his group, my partner, shout out Dame. Even with all the crazy shit, I love that nigga to death, but. In bio class, he played me their album and was like, oh no, my brother fuck with it for real. And
the Were you Wayne Kennedy or one of them?
Nah, Pano. Okay. Sue, Pilo, everybody, Bari.
Okay.
Like it's real legends out of art school specifically.
Whenever I hear Pano, I always think of Coach Carter. Pino.
Pino. Nah, that's really it's really how it was though too. Like the hella kids from the Rich ended up there, hella kids from the town, from Berkeley, randomly some Vallejo niggas ended up there too. And so it's just this big melting pot of rappers and producers that all came out of that school, bro. It was fucking crazy. Like, but that whole family tree of the invasions of HBK really start with Cali Fam and the shit, like the shit they was doing in Damon Seth's basement for real. So Jay Ant, Sue, like all them niggas learned how to make beats and shit in them rooms.
Crazy.
And then look where shit ended up. And so that's my crew. Like really? I grew up with them, was in a group with in Kingstyle with AKA Frank, Jay Ant, and Dane.
Yeah.
Like started early. Like niggas would be on the phone, like going to practicing their raps and shit. Somebody play a beat. Like that's how early it start. But it was all that same family tree. But we never crossed paths ever though.
Do y'all miss Hilltop Mall?
Yes. I go on record. I'll say yes. This for the rich. Is this camera on me? Yeah. I miss at Hilltop Mall. We miss you.
Hilly, R.I.P. Hilly.
You know what I'm saying? R.I.P. to Hill.
It just depends, man. I got Keek. I got the Pink Panther shit there. So it's like, maybe because of that and my first kiss, but definitely.
You got your first kiss at Hilltop? Are you ratchet?
The Dollar Movie. Come on, man. Shout out
at the movies. Okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Nasty.
Definitely seen the first thing get shot at that mall, too. So I'm like, okay. I don't know.
I used to love the Jersey shop there.
Balance, brother.
Shirtique.
Shirtique with Shirtique. All the throwbacks. Yeah. Like, that spot was fire.
Shout out Dream, too. Dream, the graffiti artist from there, used to work there.
TDK Dream.
TDK Dream. That was my homeboy when I was a young nigga. He used to teach me art and shit like that.
RIP Mike Dream.
I don't think I knew that, bro. That's man.
Yeah, for real. Hilltop Mall is legendary. I had about 9 jobs in that motherfucker.
Hilly go crazy. And I mean, people don't realize anywhere in the flatlands of Richmond is, you know, you got to be on your P's and Q's. I don't care if it's Central Rich, South Rich, but being from North Rich, like, man, that's like, that holds a whole other, you know, like, anytime I cross, what's it, Rumreel, that street over there, I'd be like,
what you was doing over there, sliding around?
Come on, bro.
It's crazy. It's similar to Brookfield. It's like, it's those, like, kind of, almost one way in, one way out.
There's literally two ways in and out.
You know what I mean?
So, North Ridge, yeah.
But also, I did feel that community. Like, you didn't know that you were in that shit until you got older. Like, as a kid, it was community. It was family. It was like, pop the garage open and barbecue and kick it and all that type of shit. It was real shit going on, but you kind of fall into that when you get older. It's not, you know what I mean? I grew up in the 80s, so it was just like, you know what I mean? It was shit.
Rock cocaine was a rich man kind of high.
It was a definite rich man. I like how you...
Full circle.
Mm-hmm.
That was from before the camera was rolling. Yeah. But you know what? It's interesting, though, because, like, Brookfield, you're near still other neighborhoods. You're right near San Leandro. You're 10 yeah. minutes away from San Leandro. The Huntins is right there. Yeah. Like you said, you got it's the hills up there. Mm-hmm. North Ridge, though, is so isolated.
Unincorporated.
Narf Ridge. Y'all got your own accents that you've heard nowhere else in the world.
New Orleans, it's like from New Orleans. It's like that lineage from there.
Right.
Direct, though.
That's so, just crazy.
It was different. I also grew up in Oakland. I went to school in Hayward. So I just have a Bay Area, like,
right.
you know what I mean? Where it's like North Richmond is definitely off to the side and kind of forgot about. So that's another reason why to me, like, this shit is big. Like, being able to come around and talk to people about Richmond and put on for the Bay like that is really crazy.
And there's some, like, you know, lyrical legends from there. You got Locksmith.
I mean,
R.I.P. Johnny Cash. Like, that was that's one of my favorite Bay Area rappers. And he was dead nice.
Really.
And a lot of people don't really aren't up on just how crazy he got.
That's really crazy, man. Yeah, R.I.P., bro. Mm-hmm. And Jack was sliding around in the Rich.
Come on, man.
Yeah, we got some people. We got some people on our roster.
Y'all, remember that dude? What was the dude's name? Harm back in the day? Yeah.
You fucking around.
Come on, bro.
can't leave left out.
No, left.
Oh, yeah, left.
That's right.
Definitely can. Front line for real.
Yeah, shut out left.
I definitely tried to press them niggas at Hilltop. Like, listen to my music. Listen, nigga, this shit tight. Like, they was like, this nigga is crazy, bro.
I actually got Locke coming on this Monday.
Let's go. Shout out, bro.
That's awesome.
But,
his new shit sound crazy, too.
Oh, yeah. Locke going stupid. Speaking of Locksmith, someone that battled Locksmith back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
He absolutely did.
Let's get into it. Yeah. You got smoked or did you do some smoking?
I did some. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Let's talk about it.
Lush, how are you with the battles? Like,
how was cool.
How many watches till you, like, make your final decision on who won that shit?
That's a good question. Yeah. Because I feel like there's in the building, and then you have to that's the real.
I think so.
That's the real genuine response, because back in the day, there was no tape. Right. It was whoever captures the moment, and that's why I always say the most important aspect of a battle rapper is not just your bars, your delivery, any of these other intangibles. It's your ability to create moments. Mm-hmm. And, like, no matter what era of battle rap you're in, I'm talking going back to the Busy Bee and Kool Moe D era, to, you know, the freestyle scene, to the Smack DVDs, to Fight Club, to early grind time, to now, transcending any era is your ability to create a moment. And if you create a moment that's bigger than the battle that everyone remembers, you win. That's it.
I don't disagree with that. I think it could be argued, though, like when you think about Jordan, he was playing plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
So
you watched the replay,
and he was playing electricians, bro.
Yeah.
He was playing plumbers. So it was like, you watch LeBron and he be doing stuff that you just can't imagine. You see Dame shooting from 35 feet. They wasn't doing that back then. They wasn't doing that.
You're saying that era was trash, essentially, what you're saying.
Not necessarily trash, but like, I think
plumbers.
Plumbers. Yeah, plumbers. But I'm saying then Jordan was creating moments.
Right.
But today you got to see the replay to see what a nigga on the floor really did.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is kind of different.
You see Ja Morant go to the basket like that, you got to see the replay to really appreciate what actually happened.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I think the replay is important now.
It's a few historical battles where it's like in real time, everybody's like, we always reference the Mook and Sirius Jones. And it's like, it's because of the room. Be like, damn, did Mook win, bro? You watch that tape. Sirius smoked that nigga, bro. Like, it's not even close.
Right.
And it'd be like that, but at the end of the day, even Loaded Lux versus Calico, everybody, like, Loaded Lux won that battle on the strength of his third round and the moment that he created.
Yeah.
But if you break down the technical aspects of the battle, Cal easily got two of those rounds. Lux choked in one of his rounds.
I don't know about that.
Lux didn't choke in one
of
his
rounds. No, I know about that.
You see, that's why the replay is important.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't have this conversation if we just went based on the moment. So that's why I'm like, yeah, what you're saying is true, but Jordan was playing plumbers.
That's a haymaker, though. That Lux moment is a haymaker.
It is.
And it shifted culture.
Yes.
Fuck them, not fuck Calico, but fuck them rounds.
Like, yeah.
That was a haymaker.
Right.
that was a, I got knocked down twice, but I really slept you in that third round.
Exactly. That's
never
a,
seen nothing like
it's
it.
It's a knockout punch. And knockout back in, punch. And I know y'all remember like battling back in the day, it would end at a certain point, and whoever, even if like it's an uneven amount of rounds,
right.
If you go so crazy, they don't even want to hear it's what over. The op has to say.
If yeah, you get crossed and you fall,
yeah,
it's over.
It's a wrap.
But we won. It don't matter.
It don't matter. You feel.
Pick up the wrench, go back to you. Feel me?
Right. Like, plumbing yeah. something.
Yeah. Hey, when the season over, they still working. These players ain't. They all they do is hoop now.
Right.
They've been hooping. They high school AAU, 24/7. All they do is hoop for real now. So it's like, it's just different. It ain't no shade to the OGs that hooped. It ain't no shade to
a
Jordan,
little bit of shade.
You know what I mean?
Why are we opposed to that though? Like in rap and in like sport, like predominantly where you see. Black people like getting their shit off. There's this weird like pressure to hold on to the past as opposed to be like, nah, dog. The whole point was for the next wave to be better.
Exactly. So,
like, I mean, you want the real answer. You know what I'm saying? Think,
my brother.
My brother.
Use your common sense.
There's oppression. We are made to believe we're not even gonna live past 25, brother.
Brother.
We got to get it now. Today, tomorrow isn't prompt. Think. You know the fucking
Use
answer.
Use your common sense.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But no, I believe that, though.
No, it's... that's drill spill. I got to keep it funky.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, past last time we had you on here was before the King of the Dot finals and all that.
I got a question.
Bust it.
It's back to the replay situation.
How the fuck?
We could really argue that Bill won.
It's not an argument, bro.
You get what I'm saying? Especially if you watch the replay, because I think they had equal amount of moments live, and then when you watch the replay, what is there to talk about?
So, with that being said, Pass previously. To the last time we had you
I forgot
on was
that happened.
Previous to you battled for
people don't forget
for $100,000 you versus Bill Collector. You had to do what, six battles to get to that point? Yeah,
was that it?
Six or seven six? Battles,
yeah,
easy sure. work
in like a 5 month period or something like that.
Yeah,
to get to that point,
yeah.
You were undefeated, you get to the finals, and had a very close, allegedly debatable battle that people that they wound up giving to your opponent, Bill Collector.
Right.
How did that feel? Do you agree with the decision? And fuck being political. It don't even matter at this point. Just keep it funky. You want no jumper.
I mean, I will say
he wouldn't do you any favors if he.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's cool, but. You know,
he's a classy guy.
I don't do what I do based on what somebody else might do anyway. You know what I'm
Facts.
Saying? But I would say, whatever I got to say about it, it wouldn't be political, but I also would never want to like downplay somebody else. Like, Bill did amazing and he had an amazing run. And the whole time, me and him basically knew it was going to be me and him at the end. Like, a lot of us had talked about it.
Right.
Like, he was like, it's probably going to be me and you, especially after a certain point. But, I
called it before the season once I saw y'all are in different brackets.
Yeah, And after I did the first one, I was like, I'm making it to the finals. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I said that shit.
You media train, my boy? Y'all doing media training behind my back?
I mean, these guys, y'all clearly feel like he took that.
Bro, I mean, but I do think that Bill went crazy.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah. We're not biased in that way. Like, it's the homie, but. It was close, but it was not a clear Bill won that. Not especially on a replay. Not on a replay for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a nice guy though.
I think that was probably like that might have been my craziest performance, damn near most precise and most like, you know what I mean, on point, and I think I really took it there and afterwards, I pretty much was feeling like I don't even care what the decision is because I feel really, really good about what I just did. Every like feeling of like anticipation or like, oh my God, who's gonna win was like gone. After I did it, I was like, I don't even care. I just went fucking crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just had like a mania-ass performance. Do I agree with the judge's decision? And this might sound stupid or media trained, but that is actually a kind of a complicated question because I don't even agree with. And I will say this, I don't even agree necessarily with the judge's who like being who they were being judges, you know what I'm saying? And so it was like, whatever they have, of course they would say whatever they're gonna say because they don't know really what the fuck they're talking about. Like then people are bloggers and people that like whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, and not, to me that's not a controversial thing to say because it's just obvious, you feel me?
Right.
Like them people shouldn't be judging shit. So it's like, whatever, I don't give a fuck what they gotta say because I just went crazy.
Now, so, previous to the, actually, you know, last time he was on here, Bill told us that y'all had made an arrangement to split the money, so you didn't go home empty-handed. You had a
definitely did not go home empty-handed,
but not cool. So you didn't, just in case it swung the other way.
But
well,
yeah, it
he
was.
Didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, so exactly. That's what a lot of people
like.
Yeah,
like, hold on.
That's what a lot of people think and stuff, and like I definitely seen it, in, like you know, Twitter and all sorts of shit. Like people being like, it was like a whole conversation, and when nobody knew anything before Bill had come and said anything, there was all sorts of like, well, I hope they split it. And the people was like, nah, Bill don't have to, you know, give him anything, as if like, nobody was giving anybody anything. Like, we did make an arrangement prior that was like, listen, we don't know how this shit is finna go. We both also knew these judges were on some bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And we talked about that. Like, the whole time, everybody knew. Like, it wasn't, that, you know, a secret. And so we were just like, we're gonna walk away empty-handed for real. Like if we did all this shit and then get to second place, like that's crazy. And so, and we both knew we were both gonna go crazy and try to really take each other head off. And so,
smart business.
So man, we, you know, yeah, we was like, and it was like a difficult decision. Like honestly, I was like about to damn near not do it. I was like, man, I'm about to cook this. You know what I mean? Like I don't fuck that. But then, you know, I was like, okay. That would feel really, really crazy if I got to it and then I had my craziest performance ever and then the judges didn't go in my
nut
favor.
Ass freak bull.
I would feel crazy.
Nut ass freak bull.
I wish you knew how funny that was in the context of this tour right now, bro, but I can't. That's a whole other story.
No, I want to get into the tour in a second.
There's a lot of tours.
I want to get,
there's some tour stories.
I want to get into that actually real quick, but before we do,
but yeah,
one final question about yeah, battle rap.
Yeah.
Yesterday, BET put out a list of their
yes,
top 50
let's go,
battle rappers of all time.
Let's go.
Justin Hunt. Great journalist, if you're not familiar with
yeah,
him.
Who,
Justin Honey used to be with Hip Hop DX.
Yeah, you said that.
Back,
you said it
yeah, so that's yeah, the same yeah, dude. Okay,
yeah,
yes, yes, yes. That's
he's called The Company Man. He
yes,
really, okay, one of my favorite journalists in all of hip hop. And he had you on the list
awesome,
as a top 50 battle rapper of all time. Did you take a look at the list? How do
I
you,
did.
How
I did,
do you feel about it?
The list is cool. I kind of... it's definitely like an honor and a privilege, like, and it truly is humbling to be like considered on something like that. Like, it's really awesome. Like, it's fucking, you know, BET. Like, what the fuck? It's awesome.
Black Entertainment Television.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's a big deal to be
a
like
a corporation of Viacom. Not just like.
But that though, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's a list. Like, I could have just as easily not been on it, whatever, and I would have just been like, okay, cool, whatever, like. And these lists shouldn't be like discouraging to people. Like it really doesn't mean shit. Like at the end of the day, it's really beautiful. It's awesome. And it's like a great like thing to be acknowledged, like I said, to on that level, but it's just a list. Like, you know what I mean? It's, people just like have opinions and shit. Like it don't matter. There's people that probably should have been on there that wasn't on there. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Now on y'all tour, y'all stopped through bars on I-95 and merch yes, shop. Have y'all got a lot of feedback from that? Because that's like a pretty big yeah, platform as far as just lyricists and all that. Like, what? How did it feel getting acknowledged? You feel like that opened y'all up to a new fan base and
I believe
a bunch
so,
of ears that
so,
weren't privy to y'all before?
I believe
yeah,
so. Yeah.
Definitely. I definitely think so.
I yeah, think they just show so much love up there. Like, shout out AB and them, bro.
Yeah,
and like, season,
Rome,
it's just like
yeah,
Rome. Like, they really, you know what I mean? Like, we go out of state and get a lot of love. So, off top, open up to new eyes is like, that's what they do. That's what it's there for. Skilled over politics and all that shit. Like, they really mean that shit, and they show hella love. So, yeah, everybody over there.
That's fire.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some tour stories. Like,
we outlaws on the rise, jealous niggas out the spot. Look in my eyes. We trading tour stories.
Come on.
Shout out Pac, RIP Pac.
Yep.
Oh,
yep,
no.
And then Souls of Mischief got the Tour Story song too.
Man,
I know y'all got something.
Soul G's an encyclopedia.
Yep.
So nah, just jump straight into the shits. Nah. Come on, man.
The streets need this.
Yeah, the streets need it. All right, boom. So look, check it out, right?
Monty, a little too quiet, bro.
Damn, like.
There's one he doesn't want us, that he doesn't want
cause
us
we,
to
cause
say.
Because we don't know if we have to say because the police might.
That's what I'm saying is.
Yeah, I mean, you can't
I think y'all are, I mean, yeah, we don't want to incriminate nobody, right. But.
Yeah, because something, you know what I mean? He got a rap career ahead of himself. We ain't trying to derail that with no.
Oh, no, I can tell
10 to 20.
We get accosted at the door of Blue Flame.
Okay, that's a good one. Let's start with that.
And to the point,
Atlanta.
Let's not start with this.
In the A, to the point where you're like, nigga, I'll go home. That was a little too much. Like, what kind of gun do you think I can get in here with joggers on, my boy? Like, this is crazy. Like, this is wild. Man, walk through the door. The first person I see is fucking Pastor Troy.
Wow.
Feel me?
Wow.
Like, I did that. And I think he didn't want to, like, leave me hanging, so he, like, met me with the same energy. And I was like, bro, you really had the bay turn, like Richmond specifically, bro. Like, what's up? He said, come on to the bar, man. Like, it was like that. So it was.
Yeah. Shout out Pastor Troy.
Shout out Pastor Troy.
Yeah, that was fire.
He gave us a lucky
Was he like, card. Was he like, Rick Ross, I fucking love
him. I think that's what it was, too. He never even thought. Like, yeah. He right.
Because when I walked in, all I saw was him and Pastor Troy dapping it up. And I was like, wait, this nigga knows Pastor Troy, bro?
Amazing.
Like, who was he? Like,
yeah, Blue Flame was a movie, though. Can't wait to go back.
No, I'm not going back. Yeah, no way. You need to get searched like this.
I mean, like, look, it be going up in them spots over there in the A. Like,
nah, I feel you, but we got on sweatpants. You gotta chill out, my boy.
Nah, you didn't see what happened last.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was that bad.
That was crazy.
I don't even want to.
They didn't offer you a cigarette afterwards.
I thought they were stripping. Like, what's up, boy?
And by the way, what you on, my boy? Y'all think y'all slick going to the damn strip club? Wearing motherfucking sweats. We know what y'all are.
We on tour.
Hey, listen.
Come on,
we
bro.
Did not know.
We had no idea. That's what we were doing, bro.
We didn't know.
There was no way.
Nah, we was literally getting food 5 minutes before.
We had slides on.
We had slides on.
That's my move. I used to wear the velour pants.
Oh, you going there on your creep shit.
Yeah. What the fuck you thought?
Try to put it in your waistband.
What the fuck you thought? You know.
I see you.
And I've been talking.
I know your story.
Come on. I'm one of them. Yeah, nut-ass freak bull.
Nut-ass freak bull. Yes, sir.
I've been talking about this a lot recently. And, you know, I love Southern culture. I love Atlanta in particular. One of my favorite cities. It's very different. It's a sharp contrast to where we're from, and especially the Bay Area, in the aspect of tricking is a big part of the culture in Atlanta.
Let's talk about that,
which definitely doesn't, you know, it's difficult for y'all to even part with like ones in the strip club.
No, like, really though, it's like as a kid you lose that balloon.
I'll never forget myself.
It's like that. It's like, wait, what? I gotta pay you to do what? Dance? Dancing is free.
The Bay don't even want to have fun in the strip club. I had that mentality for a while, and now I'm just like, fuck it. You feel me? Pay your rent.
I just stand next to niggas like you at the strip club. I just stand next to niggas like you. I'm with him.
Yeah. But the way they do it in the A, it's so egregious to the point where I don't, as much as I love the women of Atlanta strip clubs
everything else.
And the doctors that provide them with the physique that is so enticing.
That shit might have been real, my boy.
It's difficult for me. Like, to me, it's more about the tricks showing off than it is the actual females.
So now we're back to this shit.
Which
you
is
kind
of lame. Like, you I don't fuck
saying?
With that.
It, like, none of it makes sense.
Yeah.
But
it's the rap game.
It's entertainment. And it's WWF. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to understand that. If you're playing the game, yeah, play the game.
Like, I don't care about Cuckoo Cutter in the corner fucking making it rain 30 racks. Like, I'm trying to see fucking Hennessy and Delicious, and you feel like, what the fuck? Like,
Cuckoo Cutter, Hennessy, and Delicious.
That's pretty accurate, right?
No, that's pretty accurate.
I've been to these places.
I thought you were going
to
say Cuckoo Cow.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I was like, me too. And I was like, oh, shit.
Did y'all see the Cuckoo Cow documentary?
Yes, bro. Nah. Yes, that's just a thing. Yes.
Heartbreaking, bro.
No, I didn't watch it. Well, don't spoil it. This is based on a true story.
Amazon.
It's a documentary.
It actually does have a cool ending, though, which I respect. But yeah,
that's crazy.
Watch that.
Okay, I'm sure. Shout out Cuckoo Cow. He definitely We had the Bay turned up.
Man, man, big shouts to Cuckoo Cow. Man. Big shouts, big shouts. So tour stories, we got that. I want to talk to y'all about some Bay Area business.
No.
There's more.
Bay Area business.
You sure? You sure?
Look, man, it's just a lot of police, a lot of motherfucking animals and shit in the road. It's a lot of, you know what I mean? It's a lot of people saying weird shit.
That was the word.
You know, yada, 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 perform, sound check, hurry up and wait.
Do it again.
Yeah, do it again, wake up, do it again. You know, same old shit, bro. You know
roadkill?
I mean, look, man. R.I.P., hey. Man.
Y'all catching bodies out here.
Big
bodies.
Big bodies.
So clearly,
counting my ends, plotting revenge.
I seen Bambi before.
No, we didn't see Bambi.
Yeah,
only.
It wasn't Bambi.
We seen Yogi.
Hold on, nah. Let's stop being so cryptic.
Nah, we from California, and we gotta preserve the
wildlife.
Yeah, this is the mascot for, you know what I mean, like Berkeley and shit.
Y'all wasn't even in California though, was you?
Yeah, we were. We just crossed the border.
Every time we crossed the border, something crazy happened. Right. So like, when you get into a new state. Honestly. Just be prepared for like fuckery. We kind of got used to that. Like,
I don't know, man.
There's gonna be something going on.
So y'all had hit a bear? How did like? Where...
You keep saying y'all like we was all driving at the same time. So I
can't even wrap my head around past having a license, bro. It's just
Oh my god, this is YouTube.
Wait, I know y'all didn't put your life in this man's hands.
Hey,
bro.
Y'all.
Wow. No, look.
Was an adventure.
Wow. When the tour
started, I don't care how gray his beard is. That's Lil Bro, as far as I'm concerned.
Hold on, though. When the tour started, we was like, wait, Pass, you got a license?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I drive all the time. He was like, when do you drive?
Nah, he on the BART, bro. Fuck that.
Hell nah.
Wait, you didn't drive on tour though, did you?
Yeah, of course.
Drive all the time.
Of course. Hey, check this out. Hey, relax. Driving.
Y'all are tripping.
No, he definitely tripping. Hey. He like, make a right. He like, go straight. He like, nah, make a right. He like, nah.
That was the opposite. It was the opposite. But yeah, that's what happened.
So you clearly killed a bear.
No, it wasn't. Hey, listen. Nope.
We not saying who committed the murder.
He taking the fifth. He's
seen how first 48 go.
Bro, the bear was fine. But
let's not say who was driving. My name ain't Ben and I ain't been in it. Okay, the bear came out the cuts. Somebody in some van somewhere.
It was a big bear and a little bear. The big bear faster than the little bear.
Agile.
Got us away like, ooh. Yeah. The little bear was like, oh no.
The big bear was at the combine.
Yeah.
But
it was. Yeah.
Damn.
Allegedly, it was either us or the bear, though. That's the culprit.
Yeah, we would have ran into a ditch.
You know what's crazy, though? Is like, it's so rare. I've been all through these damn forests and all that shit on the road and all that. I don't think I ever seen one in the wild, like maybe once or twice in my life.
We seen two that night. I've never seen a bear. In real life,
like yeah, I'd be shook.
Outside of the zoo, I don't go to the zoo no more because that's animal jail. But like, you know, free the homies. But like,
free the homies,
for real. But like,
beautiful Oakland Zoo, even with all the
what?
Nah. that's big jail right there.
Yeah,
for real though. Yeah,
that's Supermax.
Yeah, Supermax. Level 5 shoe program. But nah, I've never seen a bear in real life, bro.
Yeah, same.
And that bear was so fast, like super fast.
One of them was.
Bro.
I was gonna say it wasn't fast.
Yeah, well, yeah, Yogi wasn't as fast, but bro,
Yogi Jr.
Smokey went across that highway quickly.
I think the bear is all right though. We don't know what
you
happened.
Keep telling yourself that, bro.
Nah,
he's saying
that
because
the cameras is on the shit. So we just making this story up. Don't nobody
this
come
is a joke.
Trying to like say,
no.
Killed the bear.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
We just was playing.
We love Peter.
Clearly. Hey, no, you know, these things tend to happen. You know, it's just that's wild.
When a killer behind the wheel, definitely. Like these things happen. Yeah. This don't happen when we drive, man.
Damn sociopaths, I swear. I'm looking at a pass, but I don't know, Deuce. Possibly.
I don't know.
Look.
I have nothing
to
say.
They got a guess in the comments, man.
Yeah. Right. Who killed the bear? you heard of Build-A-Bear? We're trying to find out who killed the bear.
Build-A-Bear, yeah. You know what I'm
saying? Now, as far as a Bay Area business, the bipping epidemic.
Man. It's at an all-time high.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Car burglaries. It started out as a San Francisco phenomenon mainly, right? Like, I mean, but now it's Bay-wide. Is that safe
I'm
to say?
I'm not sure where this shit started.
It's countrywide. It's happening in Atlanta. It's happening in Portland. It's happening in L.A. It's all over. I mean.
But not like you.
Not like you.
In the Bay.
Not like at home.
Like, I'm leaving my windows open.
No, it's a career.
Yeah.
No, it's an actual career. People clocking in, definitely. Yeah. I mean, bipping.
Started at 80.
Yeah. I mean, bipping in the Bay single-handedly redid Coordinates, redid Chameleon 1, and redid Chameleon 2. Just in our circle, you know.
People got in, bipped a whip and stole music out of them?
Our drives and
wow,
all shit. Yeah.
Wow.
So we lost a lot of music due to bipping, but I think our ability to pivot and be agile is, you know, our superpower, and we were able to just kind of turn that into a positive and make what people are being able to listen to on all streaming platforms right now in your phone. Go get it.
Okay, I see what you did. They got to flip the bip. You got to flip the bip.
Flip the bip.
Yeah, man.
Flip of the bipper.
Right. Does that count as a bar?
That's a bar.
Okay.
That's
a negative into a positive. You know?
That reminds me of, you know, Wu-Tang when RZA had the flood in his apartment when he was working
on
the Inspector Deck album and all that.
It's like an orchestra.
That's honestly, though, of all the things to get taken, that's got to be the most frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But, you know, the good thing is it hasn't stopped the influx of fire music that y'all are unleashing on the game, regardless.
Nah, can't stop.
And now.
Those is cat burglars.
Yeah, man. J-Cats.
J-Cat burglars.
In addition to, you know, what are y'all thoughts about platforms like Thizzler being the primary voice of what people's perception and mold people's perception of the Bay Area?
You know what helped for me to fuck with Thizzler was No Jumper. Like, it's removed, right? So we're in the Bay. Mostly it was covering LA shit initially. Mm-hmm. And then you would see all the backlash initially early. Like, just why is it this rapper, why is it this SoundCloud rapper, whatever, but then you go, damn, it's an alternate sort of space to what already exists, you feel me? And so Thizzler, it's like, shit, we're gonna cover this. And but soon as certain people got inside the building, they started expanding who they covered and who they tapped in with, you feel me? So it's just like, it's easy to demonize some shit because somebody's doing something consistently and trying to give people a space and put people on. And shit, if this is the demo that's tapping in, if this is what they get a response from, we're gonna run with it. Until y'all start engaging, and so it's like this, it's this weird kind of separation where certain people don't fuck with Dizzler because they don't have the type of rap that they wanna see, you feel me? But y'all don't engage with shit, so we gonna post this other shit. Like, it works that way. So it's just like it's this convenient thing to kind of demonize Dizzler, but I fuck with him. And their attempt to scale and like be a little bit more inclusive and go find other rappers. Like this shit that they just put out that had Damaje and Overcast and like Nim Sims, like the rappers we really fuck with, you feel me?
He even had Pass on the list.
You know, like you know what I'm saying? Like they're attempting to. So you just like, we're looking for grace as artists to really take shit on when we got to offer the platforms and the publications. You shout out the journalists. It's like the journalists is what kept us lit at home. Shout out Alan, Cesaro, really started covering everything GN.
Penn Darvis,
like, yeah, it's some people at home that are doing the job that the Source would have done and the writers at the Source did in the early days.
Brandon
like,
Peters, shout out Brandon Peters,
man.
Brandon Peters, D. Scott Miller.
D. Scott for sure. Ryan at the Crimson.
So y'all are media darlings, essentially. It's like
That's the thing.
It's you now. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like people that are taking a chance on what we're doing because a lot of people don't know who we are. But that's the point. That's the point of platforms. If you want to watch people you already know, then go watch older interviews. But to get put on the new shit, you got to introduce new people.
Facts.
So if that's your job and you're doing your job, the complaining is it feels unnecessary.
Right.
It's like, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
Right.
No, 1,000%. And I want to circle back, and I kind of agree with what y'all were saying earlier about how the Bay it's never really just had one sound.
Ever.
Because even back in the day, during the mob music era, when it was, you feel me, Richie Rich, when it was The Click, when it was The Loonies, when it was all this shit popping off, you still had The Coop, you still had Digital Underground, you still had Hieroglyphics, Dell, all the, you know, there's
En Vogue, Tony.
Exactly. And then you had, you know, R&B that was with a very specific, they would call it the Oakland Swing, you feel me, back in the day. That so, and y'all kind of are an embodiment of that same energy of a lot of these, the alternative artists that were shining in the Bay Area, but in a new, in a new realm. But I also feel like the world alternative is kind of limiting to a degree, and I wouldn't want to put that jacket on y'all because
it's both. I know what you mean.
It's so much both. I think what happened was during the pandemic when we like built it, it was driven in community and artists banding together.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, we made music reflecting what it felt like to us, but that was just a capsule. So we're still embodied by mob music. We're still embodied by street music, by real instrumentation, like Ant Banks and all these different things. But it's everything. Like just from the Bay Area, the soil is in every piece of our music, how we talk, how we dress, how we think. But I think we got kind of put into a, y'all, Arrested Development. You know what I'm saying? Arrested, and then for us, it's like, clan. It's like, damn, like what we're actually saying is maybe closer to like where maybe Outkast meets Too Short. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's somewhere in there. Like, you know what I mean? It's somewhere in that vein from what we're inspired by.
I love it. That's an incredible, incredible comparison. And just if I had never heard y'all and I saw somewhere Outkast meets Too Short, like, I'd be like, sign me up ASAP. Like,
right.
Front row
it
to
was
that.
Naked Girls on the Outkast album cover.
Exactly. Like, the first two albums.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There was a sense of, like, Big Boy was talking street shit.
Yep. The duality.
Yeah, the duality is there. So the we feel like every human has duality at the
Big Jux.
At the bare minimum, so. Yeah, let's see that.
Oh, man. Too soon. Not the bare minimum.
Whoa. Oh, you mean like somebody got naked? That's what bare minimum. Y'all just took it there? Bare?
Nah, we talking about the bear that y'all killed recently.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God damn it. Oh, okay.
The bare necessities.
The bare necessities.
The bare necessities, man.
Yeah, the Jungle Book.
Man, for real.
R.I.P. Yogi.
The Jungle Book, man. Shout out to Ray Ryder, man.
Man.
Come on, man.
The animal lover.
Dirty Mac.
Roast y'all.
So what's next? What can we look forward to?
Season two. Fuck out of here.
Straight
season
up,
two on the way, man. We put some shit together. Like, the tour was really a play to get, you know, get outside and let people know that we coming. And to that point, like, season one had a sound and had a feel for a reason. Like, we couldn't tour none of the shit. And we didn't do so many shows since then. So the energy and just being outside is informing the music. So this next wave of shit, man, buckle the fuck up for real.
Man, I need, like, y'all are like the long lost cousins of the Dungeon family, like Goody Mob and Cass, like from the Bay Area. I love it. I love what y'all are doing. I'm geeked for whatever y'all put out. Y'all always got a home over here.
Come on,
as long as I'm a no jumper, y'all in the motherfucking function.
Dope, I appreciate you.
No, right on, man.
Thank you.
Really dope.
Any parting words for the people before we sky up out of here?
Paz won that battle, but he too nice to say it. Monty be turning shit up, you know what I'm saying?
He's a murderer. Oh!
I'm like a deuce.
Stop snitching, man. Stop snitching,
hey,
bro.
Title this first 48 with Grand National. That's crazy.
He ready to turn
shit
up.
Hey, he didn't even get like a ultimate visa, nothing.
Damn.
Nah.
Get this man up Olive Garden. Let's stand
no
lobster,
Nah. Toscano soup, please. I would like strawberry lemonade.
If you had known how Mace felt, you know how the bear felt.
Can I get a, ooh, no.
We about this biatch out this biatch. Ooh.